Ross, is that 70 times, is that 6 times 70 right by now? Or? Okay, thank you, Ross. I apologize. And again, if you'd like to help lead worship music, that would be... I'm gonna milk that for all it's worth today, just so you know. So, this scripture here has many gems, and we have a present condition. Paul says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The en Christo, the idea of being in Christ, is a very commonly used phrase in Paul's writings. When it says here that if you are in Christ, anyone who is in Christ, what are the benefits, or what is being described there? What in Paul's language, or even the language of the New Testament, or Old Testament for that matter, how can we understand or describe what it means to be in Christ? Because that is really one of the foundational aspects of this whole passage. Is if we are in Christ, then these things are true. So what does it mean then to be in Christ? To be conformed in, okay, Romans chapter 8, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Or Romans chapter 12, we're being renewed in our minds. Okay, we are being made into his likeness and image. Okay, so we are being conformed to him. Is that kind of what you're saying there, Alan? Okay, very good. Other observations or other, and again, I think Paul uses this 100 plus times in his epistles, so you'll probably hit on one of them if you throw a dart blindly. Any other thoughts about what it means or what it implies about us being in Christ? Okay. Okay, so we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. We are no longer slaves to sin, we are slaves to Christ. We're no longer dead to sin, we are now alive in Christ. We have our life, our being, our very relationship, our very identity is in Christ. Okay, very good. Okay. Okay. Which means what? Exactly. We're clothed in his righteousness, which means then we are essentially then credited his good deeds. We are seen as, when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ in us. We'll see that also in the end of this verse here. We're clothed in his righteousness. We're not clothed in our own sin and shame before the Father. Okay, anyone else? These are great, by the way. What else in Christ might mean? Okay. So there's the continuing, and that's really what Paul goes to as well, is that if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The old things have passed away. You're now something new. Okay? I wrote down several verses. I'll just read some of these, and we touched on some of them, but Paul uses the idea of in Christ, and that we are dead to sin and now alive in Christ. Or in Romans chapter 6, we have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no, for us who are now in Christ, that we have been identified with him, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. That's a benefit of being in Christ. Think of benefits, that's top of the list, no condemnation. That's a great benefit. As corporately speaking, Romans chapter 12, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I mean, we have the individual aspect, but also the corporate. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, slave or free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So this individual identity and reality of being in Christ, but also the corporate togetherness, which is why this is so special. Why who we are, what we are doing and gathered here together, why this works is because, not because we're extraordinary people, Well, some of us might be. But it's because we have an extraordinary Savior and we are united in Him together. We have that common bond. We are sanctified in Christ. It is in Christ that we are sanctified. Or it is the grace of God is because we are in Him, we have the grace of God, as 1 Corinthians chapter 1 refers to. Or as we'll again look at more specifically next week, our resurrection is in Christ. We will be made alive in Christ. Or our faith is actually even in Christ. Not just He's not just the object of our faith, but it is His. It is faith in itself is a gift from God. So we have all these kinds of things that are brought into what it means to be in Christ. And my only reason for just pausing on that for a moment is because, again, it's the idea of being in Christ is such a huge idea, particularly in Paul's writing, but it covers a multitude of ideas. I think Paul's bringing much of that to the table here. If anyone's in Christ, if those things are true about you that I've said previously about what it means to be in Christ, or that he will say in future letters, he says he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come. What are some other ways in which this idea of being a new creature is communicated in Scripture? What are some other illustrations? If we are found in Christ, we are now new. What are some other ways that we have that illustrated to us? Yeah, we are no longer identified by Adam. We're identified by Christ. Okay, very good. Turn back quickly to John chapter 3. This is a familiar one as well. But just because it's familiar doesn't mean we can't go there and enjoy that together. John chapter 3. You have a teacher of teachers, a teacher in Israel, probably one of the preeminent, if not the preeminent one, coming to, discussing with Jesus. He came by night, probably just for whatever his reasons were, he was not open about his association or his conduct. He says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Again, what Nicodemus says there is contradictory to what the party line of the Pharisees was. In other words, the party line was only the devil's making him do it, essentially. But Nicodemus says, we know that you're from God, because no one could do these things unless God's with him. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Obviously, the discourse goes on longer, and there's so much there, but the idea is being born again. What is one of the fundamental false beliefs of the Jews, particularly at this time? Because we're a Jew, we're good to go, right? My father's Abraham, I'm in. You guys aren't, see you later. Too bad for you. Or you got to become like a Jew. You got to go through the proselyte process to then become, involved here. But I'm born, I'm good, see you later. What Jesus is saying, that birth, there must be a new birth, must be born again, born from above. This is the idea of the change from old to new, being a new creature. Again, this is, I think, Christ's own discourse. that highlights what Paul says in for 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But Paul picks up on the same idea in Galatians chapter 6, for neither circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. In other words, the issue is not about becoming like a Jew or Jewish or being identified in that kind of way, but it's a different kind of identity, which is newness in Christ, becoming a new creation. Or as Paul says in Ephesians, God, rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. The idea is this, whatever the previous life was, it was essentially death. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But because of God's mercy, you are now made alive. So again, this new reality, you are a new creature. And he says, old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. Or new things have come. As you think about this in your Christian life, what does that refer to? What is the idea of old has passed away and new has come? What does that refer to? How is that relevant to you today, tomorrow, at your work, at your school, wherever it is? How is that idea of old having passed away, new things having come, how is that important for your Christian life? Okay? We've been given a new heart with new desires. A new spirit has been put inside of us. Okay? Okay? We are no longer slaves to those things. Which, isn't it the case, though? The very things that people think that they're exercising their freedom in often is what enslaves them. A good analogy would be those freeing devices that save you time and energy and help you multitask, that you keep in your pocket that ring every once in a while. They sometimes use as phones. But how much of those things can be enslaving to you? Got to check it, got to get back, got a message, got a whatever, got a text, got a something. Okay, really bad analogy, which is what I'm good at, but the idea is those things that so grab the attention, affection of people that I'm free in my use of, but it's really can be really enslaving. Same thing with sin. The rebellious sowing of the wild oats and raucous lifestyle is a freeing thing, but it is so enslaving. You think you're free in your expression of your rebellion, but it binds you. So we have the victory. Okay? What else about old having passed away and new have come?
The old covenant and the new covenant.
Okay. We have no longer there is a clarity with which we understand the graciousness of God in Christ. And we are under a new covenant. Okay? Others.
We're no longer captive to being held by the Ten Commandments. We are freed from that through Jesus Christ, who gave his life to free us from the fact that we will never be able to attain that.
Right. The freedom from essentially under the illusion that by adhering or keeping the Ten Commandments will I make myself right with God, or keeping the law. We now obey the Word of God, not because that will make God happy with me or make me right with God, but because it is the thing you ought to do, and when I fail, it is not my